single Tuesday, we love to get you lawyered up to let you know exactly what your rights are according to the law of South Africa. And here to help us once again is our lawyer extraordinaire, Zanele Ngakane. Zanele, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Very, very well, thank you. So what we want to talk about today is very, very important, and a lot of people have a lot of questions about this particular topic. We've seen on social media, Petite Noire versus Beyoncé,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where people are saying that for the Lion King music video Spirit, she was inspired quite heavily by Petite Noire's work.
Yes.
Right? So that's a very, very big conversation on social media right now.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix documentary as well.
Yeah.
About that in the jungle, the mighty jungle. That song.
Taken from Mbube.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which was then stolen by Disney. And the whole documentary is about the family suing Disney for the rights to the original of that song.
Mm.
So we wanted to have a chat about intellectual property.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to know exactly what I can, you know, register, what can I own and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So explain exactly how we go about it. If I've got an idea.
Yes, mm-hmm. Very simply. Right. If I have an idea and I think it's going to make me a lot of money, how do I protect this idea of mine?
Sure. So, I mean, we all come up with fantastic ideas every day, and we're all excited to share those ideas, whether it's with the world on social media platforms, YouTube, TV. Alternatively, you have an idea that you want to pitch to somebody so you can partner together. For example, I want to go to a retailer and share my idea. There are two ways that you can really protect your ideas. The first is with an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But those are, you know, they're very specific. And usually in circumstances where you're pitching to one person and you don't want them to disclose what it is that you have told them, and you retain the rights to those ideas.
Yes.
But when it's not just between two parties and you actually have a situation where I put my stuff out on YouTube, then you're looking at more of the broader intellectual property rights that people are entitled to on an everyday basis.
Mm.
So that is mainly the way that we're going to, that's what we're going to focus on today, specifically in the context of Beyoncé and Petite Noire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, we're going to look at the ideas that you can protect.
Yes.
And in that regard, there are four types of domains that you can cover in your intellectual property registrations.
Mm.
And those are your trademarks, which are your general packaging, logo. You know, we all know the Simba Chips logo.
Yes.
That all falls under that.
Yes.
Then there's patents, which are your general inventions. So ideas, whether it's pharmaceutical or actual products.
Mm.
Then your designs.
Mm.
And then last but not least, and most relevant to the current story of Petite Noire, is copyright.
Yes.
So those are the broad categories that you can register.
Mm.
The key thing is that it must be original.
Mm.
So we're not going to tomorrow go and make the best cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And it's beef and cheese, and then I'm registering it because it's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not very original. But if there's something in that burger that is unique to you, perhaps a sauce, you can register that.
Okay.
I'm intrigued here. Say I'm going to a company and I'm pitching an idea at a big company, whatever big company there is. Do I go with many non-disclosures to make everyone sign?
Or is it just one that you would give to, like, the CEO or whatever?
Sure. So you can have, it depends how you are. If you're as paranoid as I am, you get everybody to sign. But you could, it depends on how you draft your agreement. So your agreement could say there that it applies to the company, for example, YFM, and all its employees, subsidiaries, and you can just keep going and making it as broad as possible.
Mm.
So I don't have to name you specifically and say Nia Brown and Mtox.
Yes.
I can just say, listen, all your employees, and that would include people that I didn't even engage with.
Yes.
Because what happens if I just name you and somebody comes across this on the table and they go and put it out there?
Yes.
You know, so you don't want to be too specific. You should be as broad as possible and protect your rights in respect of everybody, really.
Yeah. Now let's move on to IP registrations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does that mean? How does that work?
Sure.
What do I need to do in that regard?
So first of all, I've already said this, I've mentioned this already, you have to have an original idea. And you need to prove that originality. And there's a process that you have to undergo. And you go to CIPIC, if you know what that is. That's the Company and Intellectual Property Commission.
And I've seen that website, actually.
So they do company registrations, they do intellectual property registrations.
And it's actually fairly easy to use. 100%. It wasn't very complicated for me.
And they're online, and you can get people to assist you. There are IP firms that help with that. And they administer all four domains. The interesting thing to note is that your copyrights are automatic. So you don't have to register a copyright with CIPIC, but it is advisable. You want that additional security of having registered it, because I don't want to argue with Beyonce 2 years from now. This was my idea. I just want to pull out my piece of paper and say, first in time, first in law. Really, it's just the best way to go about protecting your rights when in respect of copyrights. So that's the process. And when you go to CIPIC, they're very helpful with this. If you want to do it yourself, alternatively, there are a number of firms that specialize in the application process, and you'd have to submit the idea and in quite a significant amount of detail, as much detail as you want protection. Because if you don't specify that this is what's unique and that's what's unique and these are the unique elements of my idea, it may get lost, and then you're going to have to fight with someone later down the line. They'll say, no, you came up with a cheeseburger, I came up with the sauce. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So what if I make something popular? So I make the word yebo popular, or I make the guara guara popular, but I didn't necessarily come up with it. Can I still, you know, register
that?
Look, I mean, you know what's very tricky is that if it hasn't been done yet, there's room for anything, you know? So for example, for example, if it's a copyright, you can't, you've missed the opportunity. If somebody comes up with it, that's that. But if you don't register something, somebody else could easily come and pull
and
the rug from underneath
it,
you. That's why it is important for you to register it.
I see.
So in your specific example, maybe not, but if somebody puts together some cocktail that fixes broken toenails and then they don't register it, and you find out what the formula is and you figure it out, and it fixes toenails, you're well within your rights to go and register it before them. And that's just, I mean, that's why we protect ourselves. That's why I'm here for you guys.
That's the name of the game, and that's why you need to move with the quickness. You still have quite a bit of ground to cover when it comes to intellectual property, how to register it, and how to make sure that no one else steals your ideas. So make sure to keep it locked right here on The Shakedown. Zanele Ngakane joins us in the studio to get us clued up on all of that. We're getting you lawyered up here on The Shakedown on GP's Hottest Frequency. We're having a chat about intellectual property and exactly how you can spare yourself the grief of having someone else steal your ideas and make money off of them, and how you can protect those ideas as well. I brought you music by Beast, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, Beast featuring Zjava on their track. It's called Hello, and it is yfm.co.za. If you want to stream us live, do make sure to download the YFM app as well, available on iOS and Android app stores. All right, so we are joined once again by our lawyer here on The Shakedown. Her name is Zanele Ngakane, to give us more info on intellectual property and how you can protect your ideas. So earlier on, Zanele, we were talking about copyright very briefly, but let's have a chat about exactly what is covered underneath copyrights.
Sure. So there's quite a large scope of works that are eligible for copyright protection. Just a few examples, it's not an exhaustive list in any way, are literary works, musical works, artistic works, cinematography films, sound recordings, broadcasts, program carrying signals, what have you. So it's just general, anything that is being broadcasted, music, etc. If you, for instance, have a music video, there would be two copyrights under that.
Okay.
It would be the actual film that goes with the video, and then the music. And those are separate.
Yes.
So someone could steal the footage and the creative artistry behind the video, mm-hmm. and not steal the actual song.
Okay. All right.
And then you would need to enforce your rights for that infringement in particular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are the types of copyrights that that fall under this. And then obviously I've mentioned already that these are rights that accrue without any registration. You don't have to go to CIPIC, but you always want to get that added protection in place.
Yeah.
And then when we're talking about your cinematographic films, those ones you can also register. And there's an act that also tells you the process for that. And you, again, me, I just say, if you can, do it. You know, you're not going to lose anything and you have everything to lose.
Yeah.
And then in terms of how long your right lasts for, that right, once you've registered it, lasts for 50 years.
Oh, hectic. Okay.
And that's quite a long time.
Yes.
You know, if I come up with an idea at 40, chances are 50 years from now, I don't care about it anymore. Mm-hmm. But my family will.
Yeah.
So you need to still know that, you know, after the 50 years, you need to re-register that right.
Yes.
So that your family and your legacy can benefit from the wonderful ideas that you came up with while you were still alive.
Yeah.
So then once you've done that and you've got your right registered, then anybody who wants to use your ideas, that's not, once you've registered, doesn't mean no one can use your ideas. It just means that you must benefit from
that,
your ideas.
Yeah.
And so you would need to then, people would need to approach you and ask for licensing. And we've all seen it when you put up a YouTube video with background music, they cancel your video.
Yes.
And so you can show that you have the license.
Yeah.
And then in terms of when you use it without a license, they can, those are the infringements that we're talking about now. That's when you can enforce your rights.
Yes.
And just very quickly to go into that, you get direct and indirect infringements. Direct are just the most obvious. It's clear.
Yeah.
Still by still, you've copied my music video.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's indirect infringements. I mean, there's no idea in this world that's ever original, to be honest. Let me not say no idea, but it's very rare. You've seen something, the things that you come up with are influenced by your exposure in life, etc., etc. And so, I mean, if you look at that Beyoncé story, somebody has gone back and pulled out stills of her music videos, which fit in side by side with the Spirit music video.
Yes.
So then who actually came up with the idea first? So you do get those indirect adaptations as well. And you need to then prove which form it is and take it from there.
Yeah.
And then in terms of where your rights, your intellectual property rights are enforceable, it's within the territory where it has been registered, with the exception of copyrights. Copyrights are enforceable worldwide.
Okay.
So that one is the only exception to that general rule.
Yeah.
And obviously you would need to prove that you are the holder of the right insofar as you want to enforce your rights.
So if Beyoncé steals my idea for a cocktail that gets rid of nails or whatever, I would need to handle that situation in the States.
So that's the jurisdiction point.
Yes.
Yes, you would have to go to where the general rule of litigation is that you must go where the defendant is.
Okay.
I can't call you to come and answer my question, but you must come to where I am.
Yes.
I must come to you.
Yeah.
That's the general rule. But obviously, it does get a bit tricky because it's online and there's all these things. But really, to be safe, you go to their jurisdiction.
Exactly. So much like the Petit Noir? Oh, petit noir.
It's petit noir.
Oh Lord.
Much like the situation with Petit Noir and Beyoncé, lots of people will then go on social media and have claimed things. Beyoncé stole this, Beyoncé stole that. I don't know if Petit Noir has got on social media himself, but in a couple of moments we're going to cover social media and defamation, right? And you going online and saying, okay, Tor stole my idea and is benefiting from him. The limitations that come with that, the repercussions that come with that, and how you can stay protected. So make sure to stick around for that one on The Shakedown. We're wrapping up our third part of this conversation just with regards to copyrights, well, your ideas basically, and how you can protect them from other people stealing them. Now let's move on to defamation and social media, right? Again, the Beyoncé Petit Noir situation where people are saying Beyoncé who tweets idea yaka Petit Noir, people accusing her of all sorts of things, right? Let's start off with that. How do we claim that something is defamation if it's put on social media? How can we say, how can we see a tweet and say, okay, that's definitely defamation?
That's defamatory. Yeah. Okay, so obviously when you make statements online, everybody's sensitive. And it's not just online. Whenever a statement is published, it may have the effect of offending someone. And that doesn't always necessarily mean that it's defamatory. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the first thing. And there are elements that you have to prove in successfully establishing a defamation case. And so I'll just do a quick overview of those three. And then we'll deal with what you can do if you receive a defamation claim against you.
Yes.
So the first thing you have to prove, the legal term is wrongfulness, but basically that the statement that has been made has a negative connotation attached to it.
Okay.
So for example, you could say something about someone, but it's not necessarily negative. Then it's not defamatory. And you wouldn't be able to successfully bring a claim of defamation against that person. When the court is interrogating this element, there is a balancing act that is made between the two competing rights. So on one hand, you have somebody who has the right to freedom of speech, and on the other hand, somebody has a right to their reputation, and they have a right to dignity and all of those other constitutional rights that are set out in our Bill of Rights. So it will always be a weighing factor, a weighing and balancing exercise.
Yes.
And it will fall on either side depending on what weighs more heavily. Then the other thing that you have to prove is that the statement was made with the intention of reducing somebody's reputation in the eyes of the community. So if somebody can come and prove that they haven't made the statement with the intention of doing that, then you cannot then successfully bring a claim for defamation.
Yes.
The third and most important thing is that it must be published. So you can't have a situation where I say behind closed doors something that would hurt you, and then you try and bring a defamation case against me. It has to be a published statement. And that publication can be either in writing or verbal. And once you can prove those three elements, then you have then done your work as the person who wants to bring a claim for defamation.
Yes.
I've got a quick question. Is it possible to license verbally? So I go to Una Rams or Langa Mavusa and I'm like, hey, I just want to use your song for a YouTube video, or I want to sample your songs. I just say, do you mind if I use your song for that? And that person says, yes, you can, without any paperwork being done.
Yeah. So you're the license holder and you're entitled to grant that license to anybody.
Okay.
And the one beautiful theme that we've always had on this show is that there are two types of agreements. You can have one that's in writing, and you can have an agreement that is oral. It is not advisable to have oral agreements, depending, you know, especially when it gets more technical and complicated. You would rather have that in writing so that you can deal with the terms very clearly, so that in the event that there is a dispute, you can then refer to a physical document and there's no dispute about what was discussed. But to answer your question, yes, you can have an oral arrangement where somebody licenses you and authorizes you to use their intellectual property.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so now going back to defamation and social media, if someone comes to me and says, okay, we have found that you have been defamatory on social media, what do I do in that case? How can I combat that?
So you bring a claim against defamation against me because I say Nia Brown is a terrible radio host.
Yes.
On YFM.
Untrue, but we'll use it as an example.
So in that case, then I have to come. And the main defense that I'll deal with today, just for the sake of time, is that it was the truth and it was in the public interest.
Yes.
So those are two elements in and of itself. The first thing you have to prove is that it's true. And you know, that's a factual exercise, very easy to do. And then the second thing is that it was, the public deserves to know the truth. So it's quite simply that. It's in the public interest, and that is a very, very subjective thing again. When does the public deserve to know that I don't cut my toenails? Do you know what I mean? So you can't just share my intimate secrets with the world. It has to be for their benefit and advantage. If I can prove those elements, I'm good.
Okay.
And that then covers it. The other alternative is the three elements that I mentioned earlier. If I can successfully attack one of those three, I'm done. So I need to prove that there was no publication, alternatively that it was not wrongful, alternatively that it was not made with the intention of reducing your reputation in the eyes of the community.
All right. And there you have it. There it is in a nutshell, basically. Lawyer it up in a nutshell. Zanele, thank you so much for coming through and joining us once again.
Thank you.
We will see you again next week, Tuesday. Same time, same place. Be there or be square.
Remember, if you need help with the legal matter, tweet me or Instagram me, DM me at MTHAUX, and we'll hand it over to Zanele to help us out.
All righty. In a couple of moments.